Hi, my name is Anita Foster. I'm the library media specialist from Autry Middle School in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hey y'all, I'm Ingrid Hansen. I'm the library media specialist at Lindley Sixth Grade Academy in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hey everyone, I'm Lori Quintana and I'm the library media specialist at Griffin Middle School in Smyrna, Georgia.
And welcome to Everdue, Conversations from the Library. Welcome to Overdue, Conversations from the Library. We have an awesome, well, I think it's awesome, episode for you today. We are joined today by Jamie. Jamie, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jamie O'Connor. I'm the media specialist at Mountain View Elementary School in Cobb County, and I'm so excited to be back.
We are so excited to have you back. So, Jamie is Nearpod certified. Mm-hmm. I'm also Nearpod certified, but she's doing something with her students using Nearpod that I haven't even thought of yet, haven't even delved into yet. So today we're going to be talking about virtual reality and Nearpod.
Okay.
So take it away, Jamie. Tell us a little bit about it first.
Well, for those of you that haven't used Nearpod before, I highly recommend that you get a subscription. You can use it for free, although the lessons that you're able to tap into are limited or they will cost you money. But I use this so much, I'm so happy to have a subscription, so all of the pre-made lessons are already free. And the nice thing about Nearpod is that you have the option to do virtual reality lessons where you can take students to different areas of the world. I use the virtual reality for many things. I might go to Italy and we might have a shapes find for kindergarten and they can look around. It's also nice because you don't have to have the VR goggles. You can experience the virtual reality through your laptops, iPads. If you're BYOD, the kids can use that.
That, you know, and I'm so glad you brought that up because I use Nearpod all the time. I mm-hmm. am certified as well, but I've never ventured into the VR aspect of it. And sadly, we shouldn't make assumptions, but my assumption has always been that it would require technology that my school didn't have. And
nope, you can
and
use...
And I didn't want to be sad about things that I
use your...
so they
your
get
laptops.
A total experience without goggles.
Yes.
Turn this...
Okay. Or you can.
Jamie actually has put it on her laptop right now, so we're touring. What are we looking at,
this
Jamie?
Is actually with fifth grade right now. We are doing the World War II standards.
Okay.
And this one is based around the Holocaust, and this mm-hmm. is actually one of the bunk houses in a concentration camp.
Wow. Well, my sixth graders would just
yes,
eat that up. My sixth graders would be like, oh my gosh!
And because they would freak out of over this. All of these different virtual experiences, we have had some really deep conversations with fifth grade. I mean, I know that this subject content is a little tender, but, and I, you know, I've said to them, if this does upset you, because it is hard to wrap your brain around this content, just let me know. So we don't like deep, but we talk about like, look at the space that they had to sleep in. It wasn't just mm-hmm. one person, it was many people and it was wood, and they get to actually experience. There's a couple virtual field trips. The next one is at the outside of a concentration camp, so you can see the buildings and the houses and the security that they had set up, or the guard towers. And this really helps the students to understand. Mm-hmm. There's also a great Pearl Harbor D-Day. D-Day was great because you're actually on the beach of one of the beaches in Normandy, and you can talk about the advantages and disadvantages of the Axis and Allied powers. And I just leave it open to them. Why was this so difficult? And they actually, well, there's a hill, you know, right. We talk about advantage points. So we have many, many, many deep conversations. And the nice thing is with all the Nearpod lessons, this is actually geared towards high school. So what I did was I went in and edited the original lesson, which you're allowed to do. Right. And it'll save under your name if you edit it. So I just take out any slides that aren't. And you can also search other virtual field trips and add any in if you want to.
Yeah, I like this because it does, I mean, just looking at this, it gives you a deeper understanding of the situation or mm-hmm. of the content that you want them to see.
You can zoom in and they notice that people carved words or their names in the wood, and we talked about what it must have been like having to stay in there with only a couple windows and, you know, no air flow or anything like that. So it really helps them understand.
So I have a question too. So with Nearpod, you can set up a lesson to be done anytime student directed on their own, kind of like a flipped lesson.
Yes.
So you could even, like, I have a lot of students who love the book Prisoner B3087.
Yes.
And so what you could do is you could even set this up on your blog as a student guided and let them go in here and see what these concentration camps were like.
Yes. All they need is the
access
Nearpod
code.
App themselves, and then you would just give them the access code for the student page.
So that's even something that you could put in your in the front of your book on a like a post-it note or something.
Yes.
Or a little sign next to the book on the shelf. Are you reading this book? Check out this.
Yes. And you can do your own form of maybe a book review or book talk that they can go in and view and get a deeper understanding. I mean, with Nearpod, it's really amazing what you can do.
So one of the things that I know Nearpod is putting out in March is going to be that standalone Nearpod activity, and this would be an amazing way to utilize that feature.
Yes, yes. So and then they've also come up with the Time to Climb, where it's almost like a game show. It's timed,
right,
and you watch your little character for all the answers. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, Nearpod just seems to keep coming out with more and more, and I haven't found anything that I don't
I love it.
So Jamie, for a library media specialist that is starting from scratch with the Nearpod, what is your tip or advice for them when they first go in to search for these virtual reality tours and
stuff? That is one thing about Nearpod that I have found. You have to be broad and very specific with your keyword searches, or you might not find what you're looking for. For instance, if you type in American Revolution, you might not find anything, but then if you type in a specific battle or a specific event, you might get a couple.
Okay.
So you do have to take the time and come up with several keywords that you're going to search with.
So I'm looking at the screen here, and so just to help our audience follow along here, looking at the Nearpod screen, there is a Nearpod lesson library. So are they clicking on that to do the search? And
yes,
to look for, look for lessons or virtual reality. I mean, do you have to specifically put in there virtual reality?
No, you can tell if you are in the library, you can tell by looking at the cover. You know, it might, like this one would say, exploring the Holocaust.
Okay.
If it has the VR goggles.
Okay.
At the very bottom of it, it will have a virtual reality experience
included.
In it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
But what I also recommend, don't limit yourself by searching specifically by grade level or age.
Yes. Yeah.
Because
you can edit, like you said.
There are so many lessons out there that this might be for high school, but I can take it, edit it, and make it geared towards elementary school. So don't limit yourself.
That's a very good tip.
Yeah. I don't click anything. I don't do science. I don't click ELA. I don't give myself any limitations.
Okay.
I just search. If I find it, I go ahead and save it to my library, and then I go back in, add what I need to add, and take out any content that might be too high or isn't appropriate to the standard that I'm teaching.
And if you're new to Nearpod, I recommend going in and making your previous lessons that you did in PowerPoint into images, export them as images, and then you can import those straight into Nearpod and begin creating your own lessons there. Another thing that I would highly recommend is don't be greedy. Share your great resources with others so that others can see them and find them in the databases and tweak them to meet their needs. I share mine all the time.
Yeah, I sometimes forget to put them in the Cobb County Library that all the media specialists can access.
Yeah, thanks for
that. Because I get so excited. But I share them in the notebook. And it's nice because it's not just virtual reality and science and social studies. There are so many subject areas that are touched with all different content. that, I mean, I just pulled up World War II, and I'm seeing ELA in here. I'm seeing math. I'm seeing even practice for, like, the milestones, like a reading comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nice thing about this, is that you can pull up several, copy those slides, and mush them together and make your own all-in-one if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you have, the students love that vocabulary that's connected with Nearpod, so you can add all those really exciting, wraps that Nearpod provides, and you've got all those different pages that you can do. You have your assessments, you have your polls, you have your drawing tools, your cork board. Those are amazing.
I'm sorry to do this again, but going back, I think we should have introduced what Nearpod is before we started talking about the virtual reality.
Nearpod is amazing.
Okay. So, Jamie, tell us what Nearpod is for somebody starting out.
Okay. Nearpod is an online website that is an educational tool that basically takes your content and your standards from across the world and the United States, primarily the United States, and it tries to break it down into grade level lessons for you. And what you do is you select the lesson that you want. You can save it in your library if you want to, or you can just use it as a one-off. You launch the lesson, and the students have the app on whatever device they're using, and they just type in a 5-letter code. And if you're taking an assessment, which is really nice, you can do, they can type their name in, and you can send off the results to the teacher, or you can print them off yourself. With the students, if it's not an assessment and I don't need their information, I just tell them to pick their favorite letter in the alphabet and launch the lesson.
I just want to jump in that if they are, most of the Nearpods I do have some sort of assessment component.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing is not only can you forward that to your classroom teacher, but it also comes to them graded.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
all they really have to do is look for the score and, reference the standard and post the grade. So it's just very good from that standpoint as well.
Yes, it is.
And I like the different activities that you can do in it. So you can have like open-ended questions in there. You can do like a board where they put in and answer any questions. You can have them do like a matching game. Sometimes I'll have them do the matching game on their own devices. And sometimes if I don't have time, this is a good trick too. is if I don't have a long period of time to do it, I will just not even have them do their devices, but I'll run it from my screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the matching game, then I'll have like one or two students come up and participate in the matching game for the whole class.
Yes. And that's a really good, that's a good way. I always do live lessons at the moment. I'm not doing student paced. If you're doing a lesson as a group, do not do student paced.
Correct.
If you do the live lesson, you are in control. So when you turn your screen, the students' devices turn. They can't go forward or backward. They have to look at what you're looking at. And the other nice thing about Nearpod is on your screen, on your main screen that you're kind of teaching from, you can change the look of the screen. So if you reach up right and hit the T, you are on kind of the teacher screen. You can see all of the stuff that you might want to add. Like you can add an app, and the nice thing is you might be having a conversation with the students and all of a sudden you want to see what they've absorbed. You can click add an activity and throw in like a drawing tool, or you can create a poll really quick or an assessment, and you don't have to go in before they come. Add it in and save it. It won't save it in that particular lesson, but I might add an activity in for the students to do on their devices. And then when they leave, I might jump into the original lesson and save it in there. So that's really nice as well. But you can also turn the view to where your screen looks exactly like what the students are looking at. So if you're in the drawing tool, you're able to draw as well. You can't do that in the teacher view, which is fine. But you can also share when the students submit their work on the app. You can pull it up on your end and you can share, like if they drew a picture, you can share all those pictures onto their devices. So I can walk through and say, well, this is Anita's picture. Look at how she used this shape to create this. And then this is Lori's picture. And they're looking at it on their devices, not just up. So it makes them own what they're doing.
Yeah. And then teachers who like to do flipped lessons, Having it as the student paste, you can put it right on your teacher blog or librarian blog or whatever, and then just have the code posted, and then in your space, not online. You need to have it so that's still, you know, following copyright and thing. But you can give them the code face-to-face and then have them participate online at home. And then you've got those assessments that you can take.
And I have a lot of teachers who actually use it as a center work or an extension. Like if they finish this activity first, well, then these iPads are available. Mm-hmm. Then you would use student pace so they can go at it at their own rate. I just plug headphones in and tell them they have to submit their work so I can make sure that everyone or who's finished it or who hasn't. So I'm like the queen of Nearpod. I use it all the time and I'm so happy, and it's never going to go away as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I'm going back to the person who's never used it again. So what, again, Nearpod, we're talking about slides and we're talking about adding this and adding that and whatever. So basically it's PowerPoint slides or similar to PowerPoint slides, but you're just inserting activities. What kinds of activities does Nearpod offer for you to put into those?
Okay.
The easiest question is, what do they not offer?
I want to jump into and point out that Nearpod, when you create a lesson, you don't necessarily have to use a PowerPoint slide that you're importing. They give you the opportunity to actually type and do things on their slide, but it's just very limited.
I just wanted to give our audience an idea. These are slides that you are manipulating and creating lessons in, or searching for lessons that are already created that you can also edit yourself and make it your own and save it as your own. So right. They yes, understand exactly. I want them to envision what we're doing here with Nearpod is all.
Right. So I'm going to duplicate this lesson first. So if I go into a lesson, I just pulled up one about the Louvre. And you can, it shows you the lesson broken down slide by slide.
Yes.
So you can.
And if you don't like the order, you can move them and change the order.
Or you can drop and drag. You can add, if you click add slide, it asks you, what are you going to add? Now, if you're in the live version with the students, when you click add an activity, it's all their activity slides. For instance, so if I want to add an activity, you can do a time to climb, which is kind of the game show question and answer. You can add an open-ended question, matching, a quiz, draw it, a poll, collaboration piece, fill in the blanks if you're doing vocabulary, and like a memory test, the game memory. Mm-hmm. So you can add these activities super fast.
Can you add video? Is that on there?
You can add
you
video.
You can if you, which one do you
want? And you can also, if you add a video, you have the ability of controlling what the kids see on the devices. So you can actually turn their device off, play the video on your screen or on the classroom screen, and then turn it back so that they're controlling the iPad so that you're not listening to 30 different individual.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you get to that screen, it says play on all devices or this device only. When you click this device only, it freezes theirs.
Exactly.
And they can only look up at your screen.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that I would recommend, and this is just for me, middle school, that Nearpod look at, is on the add a pair. I like to use that for vocabulary terms. So I like to put the word and then a sentence or something for the definition, and then have the students match that. Well, I can't put a sentence. I can only put a few words. Yes. So I have to really think about what words am I going to put on that other slide for them to match. So that would be my only thing. I would like a little heftier on the match a pair ability to put like a definition.
Maybe the ability to turn off the flipping it back. Because when you match a pair, it flips over and then it automatically flips back. So maybe if there was a different one, so you have the matching pair, kind of like the memory game, or one that doesn't turn, like they have to turn it back to turn another one on, and then it freezes when it's correct.
Right. I just want more to be, I'm wordy, so I want more words.
She wants to make sure they get it. Okay, so like when you're creating a Nearpod lesson, I'm going back to the videos. Mm-hmm. Can you put a video like on the first slide of you like doing a little bit of instruction?
You can.
Mm-hmm. And so what software or apps can you use to
YouTube?
YouTube does it?
You can use YouTube. You can upload a video that you've created on your iPad.
Like, on screencast or anything like that? Okay.
And Flowcabulary is embedded into Nearpod. So if you find a Flowcabulary, it'll automatic, and you select it, it'll automatically toss it in there.
Okay.
All right. So needless to say, we love Nearpod. If you have not used Nearpod, I highly recommend that you check them out. Like Jamie said, there is a free version that you can use. It's not as hefty as our paid version. And those of us in Cobb County, we're very appreciative of our supervisor, Holly, paying for all librarians to have a full license. We use it all the time, Holly, so please do not get rid of it. I know you're listening. So please do not, please do not get rid of it. We love it. But now the VR aspect of it is just mind-blowing to me because I have not used that portion of it.
I haven't either. I'm
and,
so excited.
And I do think that it will give the students a depth of knowledge and understanding for certain topics that maybe they have not understood before.
And when I use the virtual reality portion in my learning commons, I don't use the goggles. I use iPads.
Mm-hmm.
And my only rule is
I think that's why a lot of people
no walking in VR
steer away from it because they think that they need the goggles to do this. And then if you did have them, you wouldn't have enough for equity across the classroom. And then you've got kids off task over here and whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is
And I'm certified and I wasn't aware, which is ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know
how that happened. We're BYOD. You can go back and study again.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys have heard me say this a million times already, but we're technology poor at my school. We're BYOD. We do not have, but, you know, 10 iPads now, and I've purchased the majority of them. So I have allowed students to download the Nearpod app on their own devices. So this is something that they could do on their own device as well.
And, for instance, I just went into Add a Slide. I went to Add Content, and if you just click on Field Trip, you can search for a specific field trip. So if you want to go to the moon, you can type in moon. It'll show you as many different VR experiences with the moon that you have. So if I put in the moon, we'll just do Taj Mahal sunset since it's right here. So I should have previewed it.
It's all right, because we're just talking about it.
Yeah. So if I select a field trip to, Santorini, because I would love to go. You can preview it before you officially add it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can look around. Now, the Enter VR, that's if you have the goggles. So you can change it to goggle mode if you know you're going to have goggles. If not, you can just leave it on this mode.
But see, you know what I love? I have my new interactive panel, and I have it in my teen reading room, and I love bringing things up there like explore.org and all different kinds of things for them. The Discovery Education, virtual field trips and things like that, I keep them up there for the kids to interact with. So this would be something where if we got a couple of pairs of goggles, they could be sitting by the interactive panel.
That would be amazing.
So I could see bringing this up and putting it up there and having those goggles there for those students that just want to
independently. And it's really funny because I tell my it's funny because the first thing they say is, oh, I see people. people. So I always say to them, okay, where's Waldo when we first pull up a trip so they can find all the people in the cars? I don't know why, but they're always so excited. Oh, a car. Oh, there's people. I'm like, okay, where's Waldo? So we find all the people, and then we talk about why we're actually there. It's so hard for them to wrap their little brains around the fact that this is a three-dimensional camera that has taken this picture.
Yes.
So we always do the Where's Waldo first.
I want to add on what Lori was saying a minute ago about having it in her teen room and some VR goggles there. Now, I don't have any VR goggles, but I do have a couple of headsets that I purchased that hold a personal phone.
Yeah, that's all you need.
So the students can put their own device in.
Yeah, you can use the cardboard ones.
You can use the cardboard ones.
I have mine. Those brand new ones.
Mine I bought from Amazon a couple years ago, and they're 3D printed.
Nice.
So and they were like $10.
Yeah, they're not expensive at all. I just purchased
So the students can bring their own devices and put in there, and then you're not worried. I mean, if a headset walks, it's a issue, but if a VR goggles walk, it's a bigger issue, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But
well, I mean, all the goggles are
see with those though, they have to have a mm-hmm. cell phone, and we're not BYOD. We are a no cell phone school, no device school.
Oh, we're BYOD.
And so I would have to have those goggles because you don't need a phone with those, right?
Yes, you do.
Oh,
the
you
goggles
still do.
Just
okay.
house whatever Everything. It is you're showing the VR on. So even okay. if you got like,
I need some that don't need a device. Does anybody know any?
Well, you could just put it up on the board and allow them to take a field trip.
Yes.
And
I know
food.
With the other VR kit that I have, the devices inside of them are just large Asus phones, but they're not connected to the internet.
Yeah.
So you could maybe even ask parents if they have any old phones.
Okay.
That you could not use as phones, but still use like an iPod.
Okay.
And do it that way and see if you can get it to connect that way.
Yeah.
I will also
lots to
have
think
a discussion
about
with mm-hmm. my principal too to get special privileges.
Lots
just,
to think
I
about.
I don't know that it would
for
be
BYOD
only
in
used,
the library
or even like old ones that are donated. Mm-hmm. They would mm-hmm. only be used for yes. virtual. They wouldn't be used for anything
Social
else.
Media
They'll
and
be locked
else.
Up and you know address all of the mm-hmm. concerns about having a device, but I mean, I have some old phones that I used to use. They're the tiny ones now, but that I used to use in my classroom when I was in a classroom and not in mm-hmm. the Learning Commons, that I asked, I just want these connected so they can use them, but if they're not being in use, they'll be locked up and they won't be used for anything else.
Cool.
This is awesome.
This is wonderful. So I'm going to...
Well, I want to ask you guys, mm-hmm. since you all said that you were Nearpod certified, how did you go about doing that in case a library media specialist is interested in doing that?
Super easy to do.
Yeah, super easy.
Very
you just
easy.
Create your own lesson and then teach it to someone.
You have to
so
teach it to
you
a minimum
it.
Of
yep.
20, is it 30 kids? 20 some odd kids? There's
I
like
taught
a,
it
a
to
number.
Three classes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
and
have to hit a threshold of number
and how
of
do they know you did that? Do you video yourself and send it in? Or
no,
no,
they
you
know.
Just they'll
the
keep
lesson.
A record of it. Yeah,
okay.
You just
okay.
And then you
okay.
just, I think there's a form you fill out online or something.
Okay.
You have
and
to indicate that you've had training on Nearpod. So if, you know, they go to a county meeting or whatever and
okay.
they get training on Nearpod, or if I've certified people, mm-hmm. So they can come in and conference with me. So I've certified two teachers this year as okay. Nearpod educators. So they come in and we talk about the different aspects that are available and I train them and then they teach the lesson. I validate or verify that they're teaching the lesson. So I'll come in and check in on them if they're not in my space and then they submit the forms.
Now, Jamie, it sounded like your whole school is Nearpod certified. Or
no, just me.
Okay. Do they have, does your whole school, this is what I meant, does your whole school have the Nearpod like we do?
No.
No.
No. I am the primary when it comes
that was my next
to Nearpod.
Question.
So
how you
that's
do that,
where
then.
A lot of the
that?
Lessons that I do for the teachers.
That's how you're able
Many
to
Many of them
collaborate.
Are Nearpod-based because okay. they love it so much. Yes. They have all requested access, and I've said, well, that's something to consider with your instructional funds. But, no, I am the only
okay.
one that has a full access to
So, Anita,
Nearpod.
then Jeff purchased it for the entire school.
No, we are not. I am the only one that has it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I use it for
okay.
my lessons. Teachers have asked about it. I have one student teacher right now that wants to do a lesson with me in the next couple weeks on it, but I am the one that typically uses it in the classroom. The teachers love it when I use it. The students love it when I use mm-hmm. it. But
so when you sit down to collaborate with them with Nearpod, do you sit down with them and create the lesson together, or you just create it and do it?
I get their feedback, and then I create it, and then I share it with them to take a look at it.
Okay.
So I create it on my own away from them, but before I create it, I get, okay, here's what we can do, what do you want to do, and I take notes, and then I go back, and while I'm working by myself, I create it. It's just easier
that way. And a lot of
way.
The lessons I do are the ones that have already been created.
Yes.
I was just okay. going to say, I've done a lot of lessons with Springboard and Read 180.
Yes.
And so they'll say, okay, Ingrid, so we're going to cover these pages, and I would love to come in and do something with Nearpod. Can we incorporate that? And so they're handing me
I
that
love it.
Content.
Like, I would like love that
mm-hmm.
so much.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
I love the creative part. That's
yeah.
why I would be like, I'll just do it.
And I know it's off topic, but another thing that I kind of use with my teachers is the BrainPop. and I've shown them how to go in and make
PAP. It's the brain pop.
It's the brain pop. and I go in and I show them how the students can create videos and how they can set up their, that the county has already set up all of their classes. All of their students are already in there, so they can go in and they can make assignments there. And if they take a quiz grade from there, then they can very easily put it into their grade book. And so I use that a lot of times when I'm collaborating with teachers too, is if they're doing a certain topic, the first place I go is often Brain Pop.
Mm-hmm. So. And it is nice because I know we all work to get teachers into the Learning Commons with their classes for lessons, and Nearpod is a great way to do that.
Yeah, I agree. So, any other questions, ladies?
Well, I also want to put, and I don't know if this is in everybody's Nearpod when they subscribe, but I know in ours here in Cobb County, there's also a tab for digital citizenship and literacy.
Yes, and I've used some of those lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I just wanted to point that out there to the library media specialists out there listening. If that is something you're tasked to teach in your space and whatever, there is a tab in Nearpod for that.
And one of the things I like about that is I can go in and I can tweak the lesson to meet the needs right then of my classes. So if I don't need a whole lot and I'm just doing a mini lesson before we start research, then I'll just choose out what I'm using for that. And I can duplicate that lesson and not destroy the whole lesson by removing things. So I duplicate it first and yes, it stays in my library as a whole thing, but then I can remove pages or activities as
always
needed.
Duplicate it first.
Okay, that was my, because I know we talked about that at the beginning of the podcast, so after we've talked a lot about a lot of things, just going back to that, when you go in and you find a lesson that was already created, duplicate it first and then make your own edits and adjustments.
Yeah, okay. Correct.
Okay.
That's what I suggest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions we have?
I think this was fabulous. I hope our audience takes a look at Nearpod and finds it as a useful tool for their library spaces.
And if you're not in Cobb and you're in a district or a school that does not have it, I would highly recommend talking to your supervisor to see if it's something that the district can purchase for you, because it is a little expensive. However, if it's not and you have some funds that you can pay for it, I highly recommend getting the
use the free version.
Use the free version.
But I think you can also reach out to Nearpod and they might be able to provide you with a 30 or 60 day free trial.
Correct.
If they do, make sure that free trial is during a time of the year where you don't have a lot of breaks or testing coming up, so you're able to utilize that full 60 days.
Take full advantage of it. Absolutely.
So, okay, so here's a really quick question before we close out. If you do the free version, how many lessons can you put in that or can create in it? So you only have a certain amount of access to already created lessons, but how many can you create and keep in your free version? Do you know?
Oh, I bet you can create as many as you want, but you may not have access to all that Nearpod has to offer.
Okay, and so all of the features
I think the other limitation is the number of students that can participate.
Yeah, I think you're right.
On a live lesson that you're doing in the class. So it may limit you as to how many students can see that lesson. And so with the version that we have, I think it's unlimited now.
Yes.
So I can run the same lesson as many times as I want, and it will collect data on that lesson as often as it needs to.
And it'll even ask you had a previous, if you pull up a lesson and you've launched it, it'll say, you pulled this lesson up on this date. Do you want to continue this lesson or start a new one?
Mm-hmm.
And you can start a new one with the next class.
Correct. Yeah, I do that. If I have multiple classes having the same lesson, I will either ask the teacher, do you want, if there's an assessment embedded in it, do you want the grades, everyone at once, one day, one set, or do you want each class individual? Quite often they'll say each class individual. It's a little bit more work for me, but that's all right.
Yes, because any lesson that's been launched, whatever work the students have done in it, whether it's draw a picture or taking an assessment, that saves. So if you're going to use the same lesson for every class and it has any of those features in it, then you have to make sure that they go in and erase it. So I just launch a new, a clean lesson from that.
Right.
There's also a tab for college and career exploration.
Yes.
And so I'm so glad you came today, Jamie, because I, you know, we have like, we're lucky here in Cobb. We have quite a few resources in our Cobb Digital Library, mm-hmm. and trying to utilize all of them. It you know what I mean? So I haven't used Nearpod in a while, but I did use the college and career exploration when our counselors were doing our career day, mm-hmm. and brought it up so that students could do the virtual tours through colleges.
Yes, you can visit pretty much any college
around
the world.
I just wanted to throw that out there in case you collaborate with your counselors on any of the career cruising and whatever it is that they do for the students for college and career fair day and stuff like that. So it was really neat to look at, let the kids look at the different colleges when they're trying to decide where they want to go. If they can't go there physically right away, you know what I mean? So,
right.
Anyway. Well,
thank you, Jamie, for joining us today.
And you are welcome.
Thank you so much. Talking about Nearpod. So dive into Nearpod, check out some VR. If you're familiar with Nearpod, check out VR. If you're not familiar with Nearpod, check out Nearpod. I am sure there are some great videos on YouTube explaining to you so that you can see exactly how to do things.
And it's so easy.
It is so easy.
So you don't need training. It's so easy.
It is. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Just a reminder that everything we say is our own opinions and not the opinions of our school or our district.